All right, so we're in Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll pick up where we were last week. And what did you say? Oh yeah. And so I had 16 things that faith is. And so, like I said, remember last week it was crazy out and with everything that was going on. And I wanted today just to kind of be a celebration. Obviously, it's the service before Christmas. Everybody is excited to be here. Here in a little bit, the kids from the E-Wing are going to come in and sing to us all in the service, and that'll be, you know, fun. And but I do want to take just a minute, and I know I said this before, but just to say thank you to you guys. It's been a really busy year. There's been a lot that's went on. There's been a lot that's went on in the lives of the people in Past Point. You know, I could go around the room and just, I know the things that have happened, and God's been good to us. And so I do want to just kind of celebrate that, and the fact that we're just doing what we're supposed to be doing. And at the end of the day, it's cool to know that we're busy about the work and whatnot, but man, what other way would you want to be found when Christ comes back? And so, you know, we know that the time's coming, and who knows when it's going to be, other than soon. And I just want to be busy. I just want to be busy about His work. And God forbid He shows back up and we're just chilling, right? We're just taking a break. And so at the end of the day, I think we do a good job of that in the Past Point class. So really as the church as a whole. But it's been a good year. So I don't really want to take a raise of hands, but who made it through the Bible this year, reading through it a year? We said we were going to do it in a year. So I don't need you to raise your hands, but I'm just kind of encouraging you with that. So if you didn't, that's all right. You know, God will judge you. It's no big deal. I'm totally kidding. I read a whole lot of the Bible. I did not make it through from beginning to end. There were a couple times that I got off track. I'm not going to make excuses, but my excuse is I was teaching other things at the same time, and so I spend a lot of time in other places. But I honestly did not. There were a couple of different times that I fell off. We were talking the other night. I don't remember who it was we were talking with, but I actually do better with a 6-month through the Bible read as opposed to a 1 year, because with a 6-month, you know, you're either reading 6 or 8 chapters a day as opposed to 3 or 4, and so you're better off. Your mindset is, I have to read today, because if I miss a day, then I'm like 12 chapters behind. You know, you don't want to do that. Whereas if I'm only 3 chapters, it's like, oh, it's no big deal, I can catch up. And the next thing you know, you've been studying other stuff and you're, you know, 3 or 4 days behind, and it's like, oh man. And so I actually do better with that read as opposed to the other. And so either way, the whole point of the thing was to engage you guys in the Word. And so I hope that what happens, what we're going to do in the book of Romans here next, here in a couple weeks, we'll do the same thing. It's going to be a little bit different. And so I don't want to talk too much about that, but there'll be as much work as anybody is willing to put forth into it. And so it doesn't have to be, but I think that there's people who are desiring that. And so we'll get more into that here in a couple weeks. So anyway, Hebrews chapter 11, and so let's pray. So I should have done that to start with. Let's pray, and we'll get rolling. Father God, I love you. I thank you for today, Lord. I thank you for just being good to us, God. At the end of the day, the world doesn't know what they're missing, Lord. They think that Christianity has been hoodwinked, that we've been blinded, Lord. But really, we know the truth, and it's only at this time of year where the world even attempts to step back and see what maybe possibly actually did happen. And so, God, I do pray that you are continually good to us, Lord, that you give us opportunities to speak and share the gospel, Lord. I know that some of us even today have an opportunity to be around lost family, and in the days upcoming this week, that we would just be bold to be sons of God, that we would be Christians the way that you call us to be Christians, Lord. And I pray as we get into the rest of this, going through Hebrews chapter 11, Lord, on what faith really is, Lord, I pray that we could take a couple of these and apply them to our lives even this week as we get to have the opportunity to share you, Lord. We do thank you for your Son, God, there's nothing better than knowing that the God of the universe sent His Son to die for me. And so, Lord, we are sons of God, and we are so absolutely grateful to You for that. And so I pray that You would just be with us today and through the Passpoint class and through the service, that You would just get all the honor and the glory from our lives, Lord. In Christ's name, amen. So one other thing, I don't know if I told you guys this week, or I don't know if I told you guys this last week, but I know we've been praying a lot for Pastor Randy. Some of you guys are a little more involved in that than others, but if you didn't know, obviously the associate pastor had brain cancer, and he just finished his first round of chemo, and so he's got a month, a little over a month, just to kind of get back to quote-unquote normal. And so just be praying for him. If you see him and Julie around, which I'm sure you will today, just know that they've been fighting a really good fight. And so pray for the thing to pray for now, obviously, is for him to stay healthy. But he has a scan here coming up in about a month to see how well the chemo did. And so obviously the prayer would be that the chemo did its job and it's gone, and we would just be like, oh my gosh, wow. And so let's just pray for that, and we won't have to worry about what the other options are. And so and if not, you know, we'll just allow God's will to be done. But anyway, just so you didn't, if you didn't know about that, I know we talk a lot about it, and I want to give you guys an update on how it went. And so anyway, okay, Hebrews chapter 11. So I what
on that, he's actually teaching his Bible study today.
Is he really? Praise God. He's teaching his ABF today. That's cool. I know he's teaching HBI. He's committed to teach his HBI class, you know, this coming term. And it's like, man, that guy is such an encouragement to me, just because he wants to be found doing what God has called him to do, you know, whether he's got a year or 20 years left. And so, man, that's really encouraging. You know, some people, when they find out that they may only possibly have a short amount of time, they change everything that they've been doing. He just wants to keep doing what he's been doing. So anyway, yeah, he's an encouragement. So that's good. Okay, so I started last week with 16 things that faith is. And so obviously I'm not spending too awful much time on this. I'm going through the Hebrews chapter 11. And so we know that Hebrews chapter 11 is the Hall of Fame of Faith. It's kind of Paul, even though it's not officially Paul, but we know that Paul's probably the writer of the book of Hebrews. He just couldn't, you know, come right out and say, hey, I'm Paul, because the Jews didn't really love Paul that much for going to the Gentiles. So anyway, there's a reason. But anyway, so Paul's writing, and he's going back through the history of the Jews and some of the really faithful Old Testament saints. And then even we're going to switch gears and get into even some of the hope that we have even today. And so I got through the first six of them, right? So I've got to get through 10 of these today. So really quickly, the first six, if you didn't get them last week, I'm not going to go back and read it. But so obviously faith is a better is kind of the theme, right? Because the key word of the book of Hebrews is better, because Christ is a better sacrifice than the law. He's a better he's better, right? And so that's the key word. And so the first one, faith is a better sacrifice. The second one, faith is a better testimony. The third one, faith is better time in the Word. And if you want to go back and listen to this, you can. I think it's probably on the podcast or whatever they do with this stuff. They tell me to record. I don't know where it ends up, you know, somewhere in the cyberwebs. But faith is better time in the Word. Number four, faith is better understanding. Number five, faith is better obedience. And then number six, faith is better judgment. And so that got us through verse 12. And so let's pick up in verse 13, because I don't have time to review any of that other than to say that's what they were. So go back and listen to it. So pick up in verse 13. And so like I said, I'm not like, you can read the book of Hebrews, and I think you guys are good enough Bible students to know, hey, this is what happened. And so I'm trying to take what actually happened and figure out how that can in turn apply to you, right? And so verse 13 to 16, it says, these all died in faith, meaning everybody that we've talked about before, right? These very faithful people, they died in faith. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. What promises are they talking about? Promises of Abraham, right? Abraham knew of the promise, but you know, he was given the covenant. So anyway, these having not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Remember, God promised Abraham a land, right? Well, Abraham got to see some of the land, but he didn't get to see all the land. You know, we know that. It says, declare plainly that they seek such a country in verse 15. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country. Notice the word better, right? Remember, the word better is found in the book of Hebrews 15 times. There's a reason that it's a key word. They desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, and he hath prepared for them a city. So he's talking about they ought to desire a better country. You know, he did. He promised Abraham, hey, a name, a land, a seed, and a blessing, right? Those are the four key elements of the Abrahamic covenant. Man, I can't speak today. And so this land that they're talking about, obviously, when he said, hey, look that way, that's your land. Look that way, that's your land. And he says, look all these different ways. Well, he wasn't actually talking about, hey, as far as you can see, that's where it stops. What he's getting at is, hey, this earth is yours, right? Everything, it's going to be yours, is what he's saying. And he says, hey, that's awesome that that's your covenant, that's your promise. But there's a better country, and it says then heavenly, right? And so that's what it's talking about. So number seven, faith is a better country. And she's like, what is that talk? What are you talking about, right? We live in the best country in the world. Absolutely, we do. But guess what? There's a better country in a different world, right? And it's God's country. It's a heavenly country, right? And so we know as Christians, as the body of Christ, that, hey, yeah, we've got hope in Christ, right? I'm all about living in the greatest country that there is in the world until God says, okay, I got a better one for you, right? And so I'm all about staying in the old US of A, unless God calls me somewhere else, but until God says, hey, I got somewhere better for you. And so we know that. And so the hope that we need to have is, hey, you want to display that faith that you live, right? The Christianity is all based on faith, right? Go back and listen to last week that kind of started with that whole thing. Then you need to invite other people. Now, I know evangelism, that's hard. You know, I'm just telling you. God says, hey, there's a better country. Does your family know about it? Do your friends know about it? Do people at work know about it? Right? Faith is a better country. You know, it's awesome. Yeah, we live in the USA. Praise God. God's got a better country. And it's awesome. Yeah, we got our get into heaven free ticket stamped, and it's all good to go. And I want to take as many people with me as I can. And so faith is a better country. That's what he's talking about. There's a better country, right? Verse 17, I can't spend too much time on these or we'll never get through it. By faith, Abraham, we're back to Abraham again. When he was tried, offered up Isaac. Now, you guys know that story, right? Offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. That's one of my favorite verses about Abraham and Isaac, because basically that right there tells you that way back in Genesis, Abraham would have went through with the act. He would have killed him, because it says in Hebrews that he accounted that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. He was like, I would have done it because I believe God was going to heal him. Right? Too often we're like, yeah, I'll do whatever God tells me to do until it like puts you up to your feet to the fire. And you're like, well, that might not really work out that well. Well, guess what? God can work everything out, right? God can work everything out. Number eight, faith is better belief. Faith is better belief. Now you're like, what are you talking about? You know, I believe in Jesus. Okay, that's awesome that you do, right? But we are, quote unquote, Christians, right? We are the body of Christ. We are all of those things. We have a better belief. There's a lot of different religions. There's a lot of different churches. There's a lot of different all of that, right? I've been going through some of this with my one of my boys. He's just kind of intrigued. He's like, "There's so many different churches. Why do people believe that junk, right?" He's just you know, not that it's just got simple, but he's just like, doesn't somebody just want to tell him the truth? And so, well, yeah, somebody ought to, but there's so many different things out there, and it's all based upon the fact that this man said this, right? Or this man said that. I was teaching in D2 just this last week, and we have the only... But don't lock them out, whoever it is. We have the only faith. It's all good. We have the only faith that has a leader that's alive, right? You know, Muhammad is dead, right? Buddha, he's gone, right? You look at Hinduism, all those gods, they gone, right? It doesn't matter who that. We have the only belief, right? Christianity, where the leader's alive because he was able to beat death, right? And so we have a better belief. You know, Abraham believed something better. Obviously, yeah, God says, hey, I want you to go and offer up Isaac. And Abraham was probably in the back of his mind, I don't know, thinking, now wait a minute, you promised that there was going to be a seed. And I know you did a miracle having him, you know, be born when, you know, we're way old. You know, I don't know how else to say that. Like, yeah, we're way old, man. Right? I was laying some flooring this week, and I'm like, I'm way old because this is not good on this body, right? way old. See, I would have just glanced right over that, and so you laughed at me. No, but, and I'm sure in the back of his head, he's thinking like, okay, I know you did it once, God, but and now you want me to offer him? And then I'm sure he thought, oh, wait a minute. You did allow me to have a son when I was way old. So I'm sure that you're going to find a way to make this work as well, right? It's a better belief. Obviously, we have this awesome belief that, you know, God is who God is. That's better than what all these other people have, right? And we don't need to go and flaunt that in their face. We need to go and tell them the truth, right? We need to just go and we don't need to just go and say, hey, you're going to the wrong church. You need to come here. That's not it at all, right? We'll get there. It would be more important to just break it down on why we believe what we believe, right? Most people, and here's what I would say to that, and then I'll just leave it alone. You can take it for what it is. Most people who go to a church can't tell you why they go there. They can't tell you what the church believes on this, and this, right? And so I would encourage you to know why you believe what you believe, or why Heartland believes what they believe, right? Because if you don't, then you're in the same boat that they are. And you're ready, you're ripe for the picking for somebody who does know what they believe to transform your mind. Understand why you believe what you believe. Why do you believe what you believe on salvation? Why do we do baptism the way that we do it? Why do we do the Lord? I mean, all of those things, right? Understand why you believe what you believe, right? Faith is a better belief, because that's what faith is, right? Abraham, he believed something better was coming, right? That God was, okay, fine, I will kill him. If that's what you want me to do, I will sacrifice my son, God, because you're going to raise him up anyway. And then he's going to be that much the better for it. Moving on. Verse 20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Right? What does it say? It says, he blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Here's number 9. Faith is a better blessing, right? What happened with Esau and Jacob, right? Somebody tell me what happened in that story.
Jacob is a weasel.
That's one way to look at it, right?
He basically stole his brother's blessing.
Yeah.
I'm too scared his mom inspired him. So it's kind of her fault.
Well, she's a weasel as well. It runs in the family. It was God's will, but at the end of the day, there was a better blessing, and there was the secondary blessing, right? And then too often today, we get so caught up in, you know, obviously we can go back and read the story. We know that, you know, Jacob stole Esau's birthright because Esau was older. Now, obviously, God had a plan for the whole thing. Why he let it play out like that, I don't know. To me, it would have been easier for God just to be like, hey, this is how I want it to be, instead of there having to be some big, weird, you know, twisting of the rules. But anyway, it doesn't matter. God's will gets done. Here's how I would tell you today. Too often, right, I've seen families just completely tear each other's apart because of what they think is rightfully theirs.
No.
Dude, I'm like, it is a mess. It is absolutely a mess. Right? I got a brother and a sister, and I've told them both already. I'm like, when mom and dad die, you take whatever you want. I don't even care. That is totally not worth it to me. You know, and obviously it would be best if we could just be civil about things and, you know, it is what it is, or better yet, as a grown adult, just have your affairs in order. That way it's not left for your kids to decide in the first place. It's already taken care of. But anyway, it's a mess, right? And it's all about, you know, well, that's my inheritance. That's my... The same type of thing as what a blessing was then, right? You know, the old... Okay. Faith is a better blessing. So you know what? If your rascal brother or your rascal sister or whoever you got is wanting to take it all, let them have it. Because you know what? Faith is a better blessing. And I'll just... I don't know who I'm talking to. Probably nobody. But I know some people that could use to hear that. And so, you know, who knows? Maybe it'll get there. Faith is a better blessing. And so I'll just throw that out there. And I'll also, side note, just have your affairs in order. So your kids don't have anything to fight over, right? And so that'd be the best thing. So throwing that out there. Moving on. Faith is a better blessing. Verse 21. By faith, Jacob... When he was a dying, I like that. He was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff, right? So remember, at the end of his life, Joseph goes and gets dad, Jacob, brings him to Egypt with him, and he blesses Joseph's two sons, right? Anybody know? Yeah. Another, once again, we got to do the old, you know, switch of the hands thing, because that's, you know, that's just how Jacob was, man. I'm telling you, he was. So, just who were Jacob's two sons' name? That's right. I knew somebody would know it, right? Manasseh, Ephraim, and Manasseh, right? And so, faith is. Let's see. Faith is a better blessing. Faith is better worship. Verse 21, right? He says, when he was dying, he blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the tops of the staff. Right? Faith is better worship. What does that mean, right? What does that mean? Better worship, right? Does that mean our music's better than the next church, right? Well, I mean, maybe. I don't know. Who cares, right? It's awesome that we have good music. It's awesome when we don't have good music. Who cares? That's not worship. Man, if that's what worship is to you, you got it all jacked up, right? That is leading us to worship, right? And so you know what faith is? It's better worship. It's being able to come to God... And just worship Him, right? So there's a reason, and I know I've talked about this before, so I'm not going to spend a ton of time on it. There's a reason that we call our main service the worship service, right? And it's not because that's when we play music before. That's not why, right? And that's not it at all. My boys, you guys have seen it, are starting to get involved in the praise ministry. And so for better or worse, I'm not sure yet. And so we'll see how it all goes, right? It has nothing to do with the praise ministry. It's just I want to make sure that it has nothing. Never mind. That doesn't matter. It has nothing to do. I'm not saying anything bad about the praise ministry. I just want to make sure that the motives are right. So anyway, they're wanting to get involved in that, right? And so my biggest thing is I want them to make sure that they understand. So this is my heart behind it. What you are doing when it comes to music is you are basically saying, hey, you just came in off the street, whether you've been saved for 80 years or whether you've never been saved in your life, right? Because you only get saved once, so don't get me wrong, that sounds like you could have got saved more than once. Whether you've been saved for 80 years or you're not saved at all, right? You just came in from the world. It's my job to take you from whatever it is that you have going on in your life in three or four songs, however many we do that day, in that amount of time, from that junk to the throne of God to hear the Word of God. That is what praise ministry is, right? And so if it's anything more than that, you know, if it's all about who can do this, who cares, right? You know, I don't care if we got 37, 72 instruments, it doesn't matter to me. I don't care if we got none. It's about taking people from the junk of the world as they walk in the door, saved or not, in a short amount of time getting them to, okay, now we're ready to hear. We're at the throne of God. That's what praise ministry is, right? And so, you want better worship? It is, you know, I don't do the Facebook thing very often, right? The face-based thing. But Tony Godfrey, he's on there quite a bit. And he throws these, like, tidbits out there, man. And he had one that, like, kind of hit me right between the eyes. And I can't remember exactly what it was. But it was something more about, he was talking to pastors. And not that I'm a pastor, so don't get me wrong. But I don't like to claim that title. But I'm just a dude. But anyway, he said something about pastors, don't be surprised if you're preoccupied during praise, if the rest of your congregation is preoccupied during praise. Because too often pastors are they're trying to get all their stuff ready, and it's like, do you understand what praise is for? It is to get us all to the throne, right? And so you want better worship? Be ready for better worship. And too often people come in and they're like, yeah, okay, we're just singing. Now Brian's starting to talk. Okay, well, yeah, shoot, I need to get my phone out. I got to check this. I got to get my calendar. You know, we're doing this, that, and the other. And hey, guys, I'm guilty of it, right? Too often I'm like sitting in there and I'm like, oh, crap, do I have like altar today? Or do I have, so I'm getting on the Planning Center app and I'm like doing all this. And I'm like, I might as well be texting, right? It drives me crazy. I'm like, put the stupid thing away. You want better worship? Be ready for better worship. You know, too often it's up to you. And so that's what it is, right? It says that Jacob, he worshiped with his grandsons, right? We need to worship. Faith is better worship. Because that's what it is. Moving on. Verse 23. By faith, Moses, right? So now we've got into Moses, right? I'm sorry, wait a minute. I skipped something. Yeah, hang on. Where are we at?
We're on 11.
Yeah, 22. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. I remember when Joseph died, he was like, hey, you can't bury my bones in Egypt. You got to take these things back. You know, this ain't happening, right? And so I don't have time to go back and tell you all about that. We already taught that, you know, last year. But faith is a better picture. Number 11. Faith is a better picture. It says, he made mention of the departing of children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. That's a picture, right? He didn't want his bones to be buried in Egypt. Why? Because Egypt is a picture of what? Right? Of the world. Now, obviously, Joseph wasn't like, well, I know that Egypt, the land that I live in, is a picture of the world. It's not that at all. We know that, right? That it's a picture of the world. He knew that it didn't look good for him to have his bones buried in what was not God's promised land, right? You want your life to be a better picture? Make sure you're playing it out the way it needs to, right? Sometimes it's like, well, I don't care what people think of me. Well, I don't really care what people think of me either, but I represent Christ, and so I need to a little bit. You know, too often we're like, I don't care what people think. Well, okay, well, I don't really care what people think either. But I do, I am concerned about what people think of Christ. And now I am an ambassador, right? I am king and a priest, right? Did you know that that's what you were? You are a king and a priest. So you do need to worry a little bit about what people think. Not about Chris, or not about Phil, or Chris, or any of us, right? You need to care about what people think about Christ. And how are you representing that thing? Because faith is a better picture. He's like, hey, I don't want my bones buried out here in the world. God, this goes right back to what I was praying earlier. I mean, God forbid that Christ comes back and we're like, I was doing what I was supposed to be doing yesterday, but I mean, I want a better picture. Right? I want to be so exhausted with the work of the ministry and the work of God, and you know, and I'm not saying get so involved in ministry that you can't focus on worship. That's not what I'm saying. But you do need to be involved in ministry, right? There's priorities there, not balanced priorities, right? But what I'm saying, it's a better picture, right? The picture needs to be God, not worldly, godly. Right? And so your picture needs to be godly, not worldly. He's like, you ain't burying my bones in Egypt. When are you doing that? Right? That's a better picture. You guys know what I'm saying.
Like ambassadors. We are ambassadors.
We absolutely are.
Ambassadors in a foreign country. They're not going to be buried in that foreign country. They're going to get buried back home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
it's... The thing is also prophecy, right?
So yeah.
He was able to... God gave him the vision of foresight.
Mm-hmm.
So by him telling everyone that knows literally of the foresight that brought them to where they are, that not only did all this happen, but you will leave, and when you do, you're going to take my bones because I believe it.
Yeah, you're not even going to be here later. We're all getting out of here, and don't leave me here, right? Take me with you because it's a picture of the world, right? And we're not to be, as Christians, you know, New Testament, fast forward thousands of years, we're not to be buried in the world. God forbid that your life ends today and your testimony is more worldly than it is godly. And so, moving on because we're running out of time. Verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Now remember, Moses is born. There's this commandment that we're going to kill all the kids, all the Jew kids, because that's what they were. The nation of Israel are Jews. All of the nation of Israel kids, also known as the Jew kids. Chris is laughing at me. So they hide him, right? Because they obviously don't want that to happen. And so, number 12, faith is a better commandment, right? Remember, the king's commandment was, we're going to kill all the young kids, right? Because why? Why were they doing that?
There's too many.
Huh?
There's too many.
Jews are born. This isn't. Right. That's exactly right. They were killing all the male. Babies, because yes, Egypt. You're exactly right. I'm laughing at Chris's comment, which I'm really glad isn't on the recording. Yes, obviously that was what was going on. The king said, "Hey, this is not good, right? So we're just going to kill all the little ones, right?" That was the king's commandment. Well, guess what? We have a. If you know anything about the book of Hebrews, we have a better king, right? And with a better king comes what? A better commandment, right? Better leading. That's what we've got. And so, obviously, like I said, when I went through this, I wasn't trying to, per se, show you what was going on. I just told you what was going on. That's why they were killing him. With Christ, we have something that is better. Our faith, our Christianity, our life in Christ is better, and it comes with a better commandment, right? Instead of killing all the young ones, what are we doing now? We're giving them life through the Word of God. It's a better commandment. Moving on, because I don't have time. I got four left. 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Somebody needed to hear that. I'm not sure who. Esteeming the reproach of Christ, Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch him. By faith, they that passed through the Red Sea... How far am I going? Yeah, this one. Now, by faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians essayed to do were drowned. So you remember, obviously, he didn't die as a young child, right? His parents were like, "No, we're going to hide you." What do? They put him on the little floating boat thing. They send him down the river. Pharaoh's daughter pulls him out of the river. She raises him up. He basically has worldly riches because he's growing up under Pharaoh. But what's he do? When he gets old enough, he decides, you know what? I would rather be known with my people Israel and be afflicted than I would to be called of Pharaoh's house. And so that's what they're talking about here. So, number 13, faith is a better choice. He had the choice, right? He absolutely, and so this is a lot like us, right? We have a choice every day to live godly or to live worldly. He had a choice. I can live worldly in the palace, right? And I've got everything good for me. Or I can go ahead and choose to live godly, right? And he had that choice. That's a better choice. He said, I want to find what that was. He says, verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. That verse right there, man. I would rather be afflicted with the people of God, whatever that means, than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You might be like, well, what does that mean? Yes. let's just throw it out there. I would rather be afflicted with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. It's a better choice, right? That's what it is. Faith is a better choice. Sometimes it's not the easier choice, but it's a better choice. It's a better choice. Running out of time. Verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down You know this story, right? After they were compassed about 7 days, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not when they with them that believed not, which she had received when she had received the spies with peace. And you guys know the story, right? They march in, they're in the promised land finally. They're going to go take out Jericho. What do? They send the spies in. Of all the people, you know, Rahab the harlot is the one who finds them, takes them in, you know, says, hey, this is what's going on, and she helps them get out, and she's like, hey, just one thing I ask of you, don't kill me and my family, right? And so, you know the story, I don't have time to go back and teach it, but faith is, verse 14, faith is a better outcome. She's known as what? Rahab the harlot. Well, I'm going to guess that she didn't get the name Rahab the harlot by, you know, being a shopkeeper by, you know, I'm going to guess she got the name harlot by living the life of a harlot. Okay. Do you know, now I know you do know, but do you know that you don't always have to be known for your past sin? Right? Too often in our life, I used to be this. Okay, well, I used to be that. Who cares? This is what I am now. I have a different outcome. She's known as Rahab the harlot. I guarantee you, we get to heaven, I don't think that's going to be her name. Right? I don't think it's going to be Rahab the harlot. You know, God can take you, especially New Testament-wise, right? He can take you from a pile of junk to something, to a king and a priest, right? It's a better outcome. That's what faith will do. You know, too often it's like, yeah, you're sharing the gospel with somebody, and it's like, yeah, I don't need all that Christianity stuff. I don't need that church stuff, right? All they want is your money. You know, a bunch of hypocrites. You know, yeah, you're right. Most churches are. And then people are like, what? Well, most churches are. You're right. I totally agree with you. But I'm more after Jesus than I am religion. So, guess what? Faith is a better outcome. This is why I believe it. I was just like you. I believed the same things. Guess what? Faith is a better outcome. I don't have to be known as that anymore. I'm not a slave to alcohol anymore. I'm not a slave to pride anymore. I'm not a slave to those things anymore. Faith is a better outcome. That's the point there. Verse 32. And what shall I say more? He's like, I can keep going, but this chapter is getting kind of long, right? And what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David also and of Samuel and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Better resurrection. And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in gardens and caves of the earth. He's like, hey, I can tell you about this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy, and this is all the things that happened to him. Man, this is the guess what? There's a lot that I could tell you. He's like, do I need to keep going? That's his whole point, right? Is he's like, I can keep going because I can go all day, right? Number 15. Faith is a better resurrection. Right? That's why I stopped there when I was reading it. In verse 35. He says, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Too often we want to claim the easy way out, right? I want to grab hold of the easy, right? Whatever's easy, I need that, right? Hit the easy button. Well, guess what? I would rather not hit the easy button if it means that I'm forsaking Christ, if I'm not going through what I need to be going through. Right? Sometimes God wants you to go through some things because He's growing you. He's stretching you. It's a better resurrection. Right? Yeah, it would be really easy to just, you know, pray to God and say, yeah, God, please be my Savior. I believe that you died, you were buried, you raised again the third day, right? I'm all good, right? Save me. Okay, well, guess what he's going to do? He's going to save you. And then you could just be like, okay, peace out. I got my check mark. I'm into heaven. I'm going to go live like hell now. Well, what's Paul say in the book of Romans? Well, you're going to find out here next year. He says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, right? I'm after a better resurrection. Yeah, I can check it off, right? Easy. I'm after something better. I want crowns to throw at Jesus' feet. I want rewards in heaven, right? I desire something better. It's a better resurrection. And the very last one, verse 39 and 40, he says, and these all, talking about all the people, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. What promise? The promise that we have now. I can tell you, all these guys, they did awesome things. And guess what? They don't even get the same promise that we got. That's what Paul's trying to say. Having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us. Some better thing for us. His name was Jesus. Funny how that ties into Christmas, right? He had provided some better thing. You know, that some better thing, it was Jesus. Some better thing for us that they without us should not be made perfect. Your last one, number 16. Faith is a better promise. Faith is a better promise. These guys of the Old Testament, they were doing it by faith. We know the end of the story, right? I've seen the movie. I've seen the end of it. It's like I know how this ends. Guess what? I'm still going to do the right thing because I want to be a part of the story, right? It's a better promise. They did it all not even knowing what the promise was. And here it is. I'm telling people. I'm telling my family. I'm telling the lost world, hey, this is the end of the story. And they're like, yeah, I don't know. I'm like, well, guess what? I'm after a better promise. His name is Jesus. He came in the form of a baby. And he died in the form of a king. So that you could take his place as a king and a priest. Right? For now. Here on earth. He lives inside of you. So that you can glorify him. So that here, coming up, we can glorify him in person. Right? That's the whole point. Alright, so I was hoping to get through this kind of quickly, but it didn't. Obviously didn't. So anyway, there it is. So I do pray that you guys made it through the Bible in a year. If not, start next year, right? If you want the reading plan, I'll send you the whole year's worth of reading plan. But I am going to give you some more pinpointed reading to go with the Roman study if you want to jump in on that. It's up to you guys. So let's pray. Don't take this the wrong way, but I do love you guys. This is the Past Point Ministry it's really turned into... God's really doing some things, right? And I'll just say that. I wish Paige was here. It's been a really awesome year ministering, not just to you guys, but with you guys. And so we really do appreciate everything that y'all do for the body and just allowing us to be a part of your lives. And so it's awesome. So I would encourage you to do one thing. Over the next couple weeks as we jump into the Roman study. And it has nothing to do with numbers, because if you know anything about me, I don't care if there's three of you here or if we got to find a different room that it's so full. But because God has put this on my heart, because I think this Romans thing could be really cool. Invite somebody, right? Invite somebody to come. And I'm not saying like go and pull somebody out of a new class that they're already in, right? I'm not all about that, right? We're not just going to go jumping, class hopping or whatever else. Invite somebody, right? Whether they come to HBF already or whether they don't, invite somebody. And like I said, it has nothing to do with numbers. I don't care. But I do think that this Romans thing, I'm excited about it. I'm actually teaching it in HBI and in here. I have way more time in here, but I think it'll be good. I want to give you guys the tools, not that you don't already have them, but to equip you with the tools to really take a book, to break it down, to understand it, to be able to put it back together, to teach it, to devotion out of it, to really really see what was going on historically and, you know, be able to put a book, and that's a fairly big book, take it apart and really understand it and put it back together. That way you can be like, wow, I can do that myself. And then you can go through and, like, with these smaller books, you know, you can do it all on your own. And so I'm excited. Invite somebody. So that would be my challenge and encouragement to you as we jump into the new year. So let's pray, and we'll get out of here. I love you guys. So, Father God, I do. We love you. We thank you for allowing us to come and worship you every week, every day, Lord. And so I pray that you would. I pray this every week, but that you would send us out as the Passpoint class, as lights in a dark world. This world that we live in is exceedingly dark, but Lord, you love us and you give us the power of a better promise. And so I pray that we would take that better promise to the world, to our families, to anybody who will hear it, and that you would just allow us to be used of you. And so God, just use us. Lord, we want to be used. We bring ourselves to you as empty vessels so that you can fill us up with you and we can go and pour it out in the world. So Lord, just be glorified in our lives. Lord, purge us from any indwelling sin that we have in our lives. That way we can jump into 2020 just completely clean, whether they be sins of commission or sins of omission, Lord, and that you would allow us as next week is the Lord's Supper, just to be completely clean and right with you as we jump into the new year. So God, just be manifest.